For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments. Taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, Not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.
Lord, as we open your word briefly to meditate on that night, the night that you were betrayed, I ask, Lord, that we would keep our eyes on you, the movements and actions, the words, the demonstration of your love, not just to your disciples, but to us. And that we would hear what you say to us, that we are blessed if we hear these things, but more blessed if we do them. And I ask this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to our Maundy Thursday service. This is the starter pistol for the Holy Week services. So we have this service tonight, and then our noon service Good Friday tomorrow, and then the great celebration of Easter on Sunday. Maundy Thursday. Interesting. It's an interesting day because three amazing things happen at once, and you could just talk about one of them, but I want to briefly talk about all three of them, the three things that this night really is about. And I want you to pay attention to the pacing and the time of this Last Supper and the last week of Jesus' life. So much of the church calendar and so much of being Christians who worship in a liturgical way is we think about our relationship to time. And so we should really pay attention when things slow down because it's drawing our attention. Luke's gospel isn't always interested in the movements of Jesus, these physical actions, and yet in this story we have the stripping of the robe and the wiping of the feet. And these details matter, and the pacing of it matters because Jesus wants us to pay attention. He wants us to pay attention because he's doing something so incredible that he even says to the people in the room, you will not understand this until later, but I'm still going to do it, and I'm still going to slow down. There's another moment in the book of Exodus, right before the 10th plague, right before the Passover, right before Israel is going to go into action and paint their doorways with the lamb's blood, where God slows down and describes in vivid detail not just how to do the Passover to get out of Egypt, but what they will do when they remember that moment from years to come. It's all around a meal. I'm going to give you this meal as a means to remember. That's where Paul's reading starts tonight. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he gave them a meal. Just like when God was about to deliver his people from Israel, so too when he's about to deliver his people, he slows down and he gives them a meal. And that is the first thing that Maundy Thursday is about, the institution of the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. This feast in which we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We keep that feast in anticipation of him coming again, which is why Paul says earlier in 1 Corinthians, Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us, therefore let us keep the feast. Paul gets it in one sentence, the meaning of Christ's death. He's the new Passover lamb. God has effected a new salvation. There's a new covenant with a new meal, and then there's a new commandment that goes with it. That's all of Maundy Thursday, those three things. So many things you could say about the meal that Jesus gives us. I just want to draw our attention to one simple detail. He knows that he will be denied. He knows that he will be betrayed. He knows that everyone at that table, save for John, will leave him for dead. And what does he do? He slows down. He takes his time and he lingers over the meal because he wants them to be able to look back to it and remember. Once they get on the other side of the cross and the resurrection, that moment will be radiant for them. But he wants them to internalize the details. This table is a place where we enact the memory. And it's not memory as a simple recollection, but the action that was taken that Jesus does, his body broken for us, his blood shed for us, becomes present to us. That's why we slow down. That's why we do it every week, so that we can remember, so that we can proclaim his death until he comes. And what I love about what Jesus does is that he tells them how they will celebrate their salvation once that salvation happens. He tells them in advance. And they don't get it. And that's actually comforting because they need the same event that we need, which is the cross. I love Jesus' confidence in our passage from John. He knows that his hours has come. He knows that the Father has loved him, and so he loves his own to the end. His overflow of love is based in his confidence of God's love for him. That's why he can slow down. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And part of the way that he loved them is he gave them a meal. He gave them this place where he says, I'm going to meet with you when you do this. I'm going to be present with you when you do this. So that's the first thing that Maundy Thursday is about, is this new covenant meal. Just like the Passover meal was given to the people of Israel, Jesus gives us a new covenant meal. The second thing is a new covenant action. Maundy Thursday is about the washing of the disciples' feet. And this is where things really slow down. He gets up from the table. He strips off his garment. He takes on the garb of a servant. And then he goes disciple by disciple by disciple and washes their feet. The betrayer and the denier and the leavers included, every one of them, he washes their feet. And again, what does Jesus say as he's doing this? What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will. It's an action that illustrates his love, but the shape and the fullness of his love cannot be revealed until he goes through the cross and out through the grave on the other side. It takes the cross and the resurrection for any of this to make sense. The moment of the washing of the feet, I'm sure, was resplendent with its own beauty. I would have liked to have been there and seen it. But in the light of the cross, the moment of the washing of the feet starts to glow and radiate from within. As he takes off his outer garment, stripping himself to a servant, he's showing them the stripping he's about to go through on the cross, where all his garments will be removed. And it's the place of the cross where his full radiance and glory will shine. And here's the truth that they can't understand until the cross and resurrection has happened, that the glory of God is his self-giving love. That is God's greatest glory. A love that gives without remainder, gives to the end, pours out everything that it is, everything that it has, for the sake of the beloved. And the washing of the feet is a picture of that love. They will come to understand that afterward, after they've seen the further stripping of the cross. So the washing of the feet is a demonstration of the shape of God's love and a model for us for our love, which brings us to the third thing that Maundy Thursday is about, which is all in the name. Maundy comes from the Latin word for commandment. Jesus, after this passage in John 13, 31 through 35, he says, I'm giving you a new commandment. So there's a new covenant with a new covenant meal, a new covenant action with the washing of the feet, and then there's a new commandment that goes with the covenant. Just like Israel was given the commandments at Sinai that went with who they were as a people, Jesus is saying, you're my people, here's how you act, here's the new commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. He says specifically of the foot washing, for I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. The foot washing is a picture of the kind of love that Jesus demonstrates for us and the kind of love that we are meant to demonstrate to each other. It is a radical act of humble service, and it's a picture of how we are to love each other. By this kind of love, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Some of you know that I have a slight obsession with a theologian named Balthasar. He has a book titled Love Alone is Credible. It's all right in the title. What makes Christianity credible? Love. Love alone is credible. More than Christianity hinges on an argument, more than it hinges on our ability to explain the faith, Christianity comes down to love. They will know you are my disciples by how you love. That's it. And so the greatest apologetic for the church, Balthasar says, and his friend Joseph Ratzinger, is the saints, because the saints are the lovers of God, and their lives, the way that they pour themselves out in love for each other, demonstrates that God is who he says he is. It demonstrates the world the credibility of the gospel, because it is love that makes the faith credible. We have to relearn what love is. And Jesus washes their feet in order to teach us and to show us what love is really like. He is lifted up and glorified on the cross to show us what love is really like. Love poured out without remainder. Self-giving love. Jesus is able to do that because he is loved by the Father, knowing that the Father will meet him on the other side of darkness. And the saints know this too. The lovers of God know this too. Mother Teresa once said, "May God break my heart so completely that the whole world falls in. May my love be so demonstrative to the world. My love that I experience from God, may it pour out from me so that all the world is pulled into it." That's a radical statement. And yet it's true. It's what makes Christianity credible. But here's the truth for us. Only divine love can make such love possible. Love that steps outside of itself. Incarnate love. Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. We can't do it on our own. We can't love like this unless God has loved us first. That's what this all boils down to. Unless we will allow ourselves to be loved by God in this way, we cannot love in the way that he's asked us to do. If we start from the place that I'm going to white-knuckle love people this way, the people that you're trying to love better watch out, because it's going to be trouble. It has to come from the overflow of God's love in us. And so we're going to wash each other's feet. Nobody has to. All may. Some will. Nobody must. Pedicure or not, you can do it. And I would say that it takes a certain humility to wash somebody else's feet. But it takes another kind of humility to have your feet washed. And that's why Peter is our best friend. Because he stands in for us in the passage, as he does in so many stories. Jesus, you can't wash my feet. He's not humble enough initially to receive that love. And that's where it all has to start. Are we humble enough to receive his love? I love Peter because he's the swinging pendulum of our reactions to this moment. First, it's, you can't wash me. And then Jesus is like, I have to. And he's like, well, then wash everything. I mean, to go from that point in just like 30 seconds is an astounding thing. And again, he represents us. Jesus, I need you to wash me. Jesus, I need you to show me your love so that I might receive it. I confess that I feel my own hesitation in having my feet washed. Maybe you do too. It's an act of humility, both to wash and to receive the washing. And I want you to think about the reception of it tonight. What is it like? It's going to be a little bit awkward. It's going to feel a little bit weird. That's all part of it. Jesus does what he does with purpose, with intention. He does what he does with a holy confidence that the love of his Father is enough to meet him on the other side of the darkness he's about to enter. He strips himself in the confidence of his Father's love and that the resolve of his mission to demonstrate his love to the world. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going back to God, loved them to the end. He had absolute confidence that he was going to go back to God. He knew. The depth of his humility in stripping off his garment reveals the depth of his love. There is no depth that Jesus will not descend to in order to demonstrate his love for us. John knows this, and so he, from the standpoint of the resurrection, will call the cross the moment of glory. Why is the cross the moment of glory? Because it is there that it is demonstrated that there is no place that Jesus will not go to demonstrate his humble love to us. That he will give everything that he has. The great 17th century poet, priest George Herbert, in his poem, The Bag, writes this. Hast thou not heard that my Lord Jesus did? Then let me tell thee a strange story. The God of power, as he did ride in his majestic robes of glory to light, and so one day he did descend, undressing all the way. He undressed in front of his disciples. He stripped himself in front of the disciples to show them the stripping he was about to undergo on the cross. He undressed all the way through his trial, through his beating, through the mockery, through the scourging, through his crucifixion, through his death, and in his burial, he undressed all the way down. And all of that shows that there is no place that love cannot go. There is no darkness that love cannot penetrate as light. And so we have to receive that love. We can't do that. We can't be that on our own. We have to receive it. And this is a start. This is a way in which we humbly receive the love that Christ has given us. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to introduce the service of washing the feet, because it's going to speak much more loudly than anything that I could say. So let's pray. Lord, on this night when you gave us a new covenant meal and you gave us a new covenant command to love one another, we pray that we could slow down. We could slow down in the way that you slowed down to pay attention. And that as we, those of us who will come to wash feet, those of us who will come to receive our feet being washed, we pray that even in this action, we could receive the love that you have for us. The humble, self-giving love that strips itself, that undresses all the way down, all the way into death, all the way into darkness, knowing that the Father will meet you on the other side. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.